This video is sponsored by Normandy 1998, Christopher Mitchell, 212th Trooper, Sylar 1610, Carmen CJ, Rune Scribble, Legendary Ray Ray, Ash, and Devin Dixon. Our story begins at Oak's lab as the professor is preparing for his trip to the Unova region with the Ketchum family. After so many years, he's excited to go back, though the effort of packing has left him a bit frazzled, to the point where he barely notices when Ash's Gibble comes wandering inside and even clambers its way onto the sofa. Due to being a new arrival at the lab, the little dragon is still in the process of familiarizing itself, with it currently looking down curiously at the open suitcase, though thanks to lacking any form of neck, it must lean forward to do so, with it unfortunately leaning just a bit too far and taking a tumble onto the pile of clothes within. Well, it's not bad enough. At that moment, Oak's back happens to be turned, meaning he does not witness the fall, nor does he notice the Landshark Pokemon in his distracted state, instead simply dropping his last handful of luggage into the case and zipping it up. At first, this startles the little Drake, as it has no idea what is happening, though following some initial jostling as the case is placed onto the back of Oak's Jeep, things become rather pleasant, with the rocking of the vehicle in motion and the comfy bed of clothes putting Gibble in the mood for a nap, so that its presence is not noticed until Ash, Delia, and Oak attempt to pass through customs, at which point several questions are raised around why the professor is alive Gibble in his case. Opening the trunk up and pulling one of Oak's socks from its fin, Ash laughingly asks if it was trying to come to Unova with him, and while the dragon ground type doesn't know what a Unova is, it is happy to see Ash, and so chomps him affectionately. Taking this as a yes, the boy grins that he guesses it can tag along, since the second journey certainly benefited Ambipom back when it was his Apom, though they'll need to wait till they get to Professor Juniper's lab for Tracy to send him Gibble's ball. From here, things return to their canon course for a while, with them boarding the plane and arriving in Unova, where Pikachu temporarily loses his electrical powers due to a bolt of lightning from Zekrom. Nonetheless, the Kantonian group still rendezvous with Professor Juniper and make their way to a lab, where Ash meets Trip, with the pair agreeing to battle, though here Trip asks to battle Gibble, since while it's still a strange foreign Pokemon, at least it's not from the boonies like Ash and Pikachu. This is a remarkably poor decision, as even though it's only a first stage, Gibble is still from a pseudo-legendary line, not to mention unlike Pikachu it has no external nerfs, meaning when it faces off against the level 5 Snivy, it beats it soundly, forcing Trip to concede that maybe Ash isn't a total novice and skulk away in defeat. Meanwhile, having heard that the sandy-haired boy intends to challenge the Unova League, Ash announces his intent to do the same, with his mum, Oak, and Juniper all calling this a great idea. As a result, after having Gibble's ball returned to him along with being given a new Unovan Pokédex, he sets off on his new adventure with Pikachu and Gibble by his side. However, they will not be his only companions, as while making his way through the forest, Ash spots something in the bush that his Pokédex tells him is an Axew, though upon throwing a ball, discovers that it is actually a human girl named Iris who is none too pleased about this exchange. Nonetheless, after some brief bickering, the pair wind up travelling together at least for now, with them soon coming across a herd of dealing, though when Ash goes to throw a ball without battling like a novice, Gibble emerges from its ball and bites him on the head, giving his brain enough of a jumpstart to remember that he is a trainer with 4 regions worth of experience, and so probably shouldn't do that. Thanks to this, he has Pikachu battle the dealing that initially led them here, and after beating it pretty easily, catches it, thus bringing his squad to 3. Meanwhile, Iris is enamored by the little dragon still perched on his head, with her gushing and imploring Ash to let her take a look, to which the boy agrees, albeit a little put off by the strong reaction. Subsequently, Iris informs Ash that her dream is to be a dragon master, so she loves dragon types, with this in turn solidifying them traveling together earlier than in canon, since she wants to watch Gibble develop, and perhaps will even help Axew to grow. Once more, things get back on the canon path from here, though unfortunately due to Iris not vanishing the next morning, Ash doesn't leave camp so quickly, and thus doesn't meet his Pidove. However, someone he does meet is Oshawott, who followed him all the way from Juniper's lab, with it helping to foil a Team Rocket scheme and subsequently joining Ash's team informally, since when he goes to catch it, he discovers that it already has a Pokeball. Fortunately, when he arrives at a nearby Pokemon Center and contacts Professor Juniper, she gives him its ball and her blessing, since clearly the two of them are meant to be a team. Now with 4 Pokemon in hand sooner than he has in any region before, Ash continues on, with the next event of note being when he and Iris are attacked by a sunglasses-wearing Sandile, who has been digging pitfall traps around a local hot spring, seemingly in an attempt to destroy it. Fortunately, unlike canon, here Ash has a tunneler of his own, that being Gibble, with him bringing it out and having it battle the ground dark type when it attempts to kidnap Pikachu. As a result, this is prevented, though a rivalry quickly forms between the pair of ground types, even if it is entirely one-sided, as Gibble is too dense to recognize that Sandile holds any ill will towards it. From here, things return to their canon course once more, as Ash and Iris still visit the Battle Club, where he acquires an abandoned Tepig, and then face off against the triplet gym leaders of Striden. Cute having Gibble face off against Chili's Panseer, dealing handle Cress's Panpour, and Pikachu dispatch Silent's Pansage. This isn't too much of a challenge. Though all the same, Silent is impressed enough to join the team, completing the companion trio. Following this, Ash also gets his hands on a wild Snivy, rounding his team out to 6, with this being fortunate, as a little while later when visiting another battle club, Ash encounters Trip once again. Here the Unovan boy challenges him to a full battle, and in this timeline, he can accept. At first, this does not go well, with Trip's Trunkle easily dispatching Oshawott before Pikachu finally takes it out, though he too falls to Trip's Servine, showing that it has evolved. Likewise, Dealing cannot get a win during the clash of grass types, though in a surprise upset, Snivy does manage to beat a revolved form with a clever combo of Attract and Leaf Blade. However, this is far from a decisive victory, as when Trip next brings out Frillish, Ash accidentally triggers its cursed body ability by having Snivy use Vine Whip, freeing Trip up to take it out too, and leaving Ash with just Gibble and Tepig, neither of whom are great matchups for his Water Ghost. Nonetheless, the Ravenhead boy presses on, choosing Gibble, who demonstrates its recently mastered Draco Meteor to take the Haunted Jellyfish down, forcing Trip to reveal more Pokemon than he did in canon, as in the main timeline, Frillish was able to finish off his team. For his fourth choice, Trip goes with Vanillite, which almost instantly spells doom for Gibble due to it being quad weak to ice, though at least Ash's final Pokemon in Tepig is the type advantage when it takes to the field. However, Trip isn't worried, since as Ash and Tepig soon come to learn, Vanillite excels in its defenses, allowing it to tank the pig's attacks and give back as good as it gets, so that in the end, this clash concludes with a tie, making Trip the winner of their first full battle as he still has two Pokemon left. Naturally, this loss is a blow to Ash, though all the same he continues on, with Gibble not having much relevance to the plot for a while beyond keeping up its usual goofy antics and playing around with its friends. Namely Axew, who's a fellow finned dragon with a mouth weapon, finds a lot of kinship with the Land Shark. As a result, Gibble takes on the more big brotherly role that Axew would normally take for Scraggy and Cannon, teaching the somewhat shy Unovan Drake to loosen up, even if it doesn't necessarily agree with the no-thoughts-just-bite lifestyle its buddy proposes. Nonetheless, even without Gibble playing a major role, the plot does progress, with Ash getting his second badge from Lenora following an initial defeat, some training, and a rematch. Likewise, he also gets Scraggy's egg, which in turn hatches soon after and becomes a new team member who Gibble weirdly gets on with quite well, since it can bite Scraggy's hard head all day without hurting it, while the battle-hungry little salamander considers this training. As a result, it acts you and Gibble form a little trio of sorts, which unfortunately means more trouble and chaos for Ash and Iris in particular. Not long after this, Swaddle also joins Ash's party, and while three grass types may not be ideal, we know from his Ken and Kalos team that he's perfectly happy having three of the same type, because to him, team comp comes secondary to friendship. And speaking of same-type Pokemon, is around this time the Sunglasses Sandile reappears and has another brief showdown with Gibble, even going so far as to evolve to beat its rival, though this is maybe a mistake, since that just gives Gibble more of it to bite, resulting in yet another L for the Desert Croc, who retreats once again. Resuming the canon course, Gibble unfortunately does not play a role in Ash's third gym battle either, with that pleasure going to Tepig, Pikachu, and Swaddle, who evolves into Swaddloon midway through, resulting in a victory for the young Kantonian. However, it is around this time that Gibble's star rises back into prominence, as during the journey to Nimbasa City, the trio come across a girl named Emmy who is having trouble with her Druddigan, and while Iris acts as her main mentor due to being an aspiring Dragon Master, Ash and Gibble still help, especially when it comes to light that Druddigan only knows three moves, but is on the verge of learning Draco Meteor. Having specifically worked with Gibble to learn that move, Ash and his little Drake step in, demonstrating the attack and guiding Druddigan to achieve the feat far quicker than it would have on its own. As a result, when Team Rocket attack and try to steal the cave Pokemon, Druddigan and its little mentor fire a twin Draco Meteor that puts pay to that plan and saves the day. Following this, Ash also uses Gibble against his new rival Stefan and his Blitzel, resulting in a pretty easy win, since Gibble's ground typing makes it immune to the little zebra's attacks while it knows Dig for super effective damage. Though, that is not the only battle the Landshark takes part in, as a few days later, Ash and Co. come across Trip, with a pair agreeing to a best-of-three battle, since they each have one win under their belt. Wanting to start off strong, Trip chooses Servine right off the bat, while going with what worked before, Ash picks Snivy. However, as you will learn, Trip has spent a lot of time reflecting on their battle and how to improve, which includes not making the same mistakes twice, though when Snivy attempts to repeat its winning combo from before, Servine overpowers it with Cut, while using Leaf Tornado to counter a distract and take the smaller grass snake out of the battle. For the second round, Trip reveals another new Pokemon, a Timber, while Ash picks Oshawott, since if his rival's Pokemon has a weapon, then he should too. Surprisingly, this logic proves sound, as when Timber and Oshawott clash wood against Scalchop, the scaly sword prevails, putting Ash and Trip back on an even keel. This just makes their final battle all the more crucial, with Ash choosing to put his faith in Gible, while Trip by sheer happenstance brings out his Vanillite. This puts a smug smirk on the Unovan boy's face, since he is more or less assured the victory now, as in his assessment, Ash hasn't improved at all since their last battle. To this end, he takes the offensive, hurling icicle spears, ice shards, and even blizzards at the quad-weak Drake, who in spite of this insists on fighting on just like its knuckle-headed trainer. However, despite what Trip might think, this unwillingness to give up is an asset, not a weakness, as when Gible forces its way through the frozen ground with Dig, he is able to land a powerful hit that looks as though it might end the battle. Sadly, it is not that simple, as on its trainer's command, Vanillite recovers and blasts its foe with a point-blank ice beam that freezes it solid. Now it is Ash who appears to have lost, though when the boy cries out for his friend, white light bursts from the ice brick, with the little Drake doing likewise a moment later, though now it is not so little, with the newly evolved Gabite lunging forward to deliver a super effective rock smash right into Vanillite's face. This is enough to put it down for the count, giving the victory of their third battle to Ash, something Trip finds a little unnerving, though this just means he needs to train more. If he can't beat this kid from the boonies, what chance does he have of facing Alder? Meanwhile, Ash is over the moon, running onto the field and hugging Gabite, who in turn chomps down on his head with its much stronger jaw. While to the side, Iris cheers for Gabite, and Silent comments that it and Ash's friendship certainly has a unique aroma, though there is something truly special about the pair. Following this, the trio get back on the road, with Ash still getting his Palpitoad and Silent getting his Stunfisk, while Iris instead gets a rival, a red-headed girl named Georgia who declares herself a Dragon Buster and intends to take down any Dragon types and Dragon Masters. This ultimately culminates in a battle, with Iris and her Excadrill finally putting their differences aside and earning a tie against Georgia, though they are not the only ones the Dragon Buster is interested in, as she also insists that Ash and Gabite battle her. Always spoiling for a match, Ash agrees, with the duo making short work of her poniard, though refusing to accept she lost to them. Georgia declares that she was at a disadvantage since her bear tick was already worn out, so this battle doesn't count, and next time she'll show Ash and Gabite her real power. Not really getting what she's so worked up about, the Ravenhead boy agrees to face her again whenever, with this seeing the birth of a new rivalry, as now Georgia intends to bust both Iris and Ash. Meanwhile, battling is not the only way Gabite shows itself to be an asset, as in the episode Gotta Catch a Rock and Roller, when Ash and Co. head into a mine to help save a group of the titular rock types from Team Rocket, they are forcibly caved in by the crooks, only for Gabite to use its digging skills and much larger arms to tunnel them all to freedom alongside Excadrill, allowing them to save the day, and Ash to add one of the rock and roller to his team. Following this, there is another gap in which Gabite doesn't get up to much, as the trio make it to Nimbasa Town and sign up for the club battle, with Georgia in particular getting quite angry when Ash battles her with Pikachu rather than his dragon type. However, one trainer who is worthy of using Gabite against is Iris, as when she and Ash are paired up in the finals, it becomes a battle of ground types, as she picks Excadrill, and he places Faith in the middle stage Drake. Due to both being dual types with an evolution under their belt and a focus on offensive power, this is a close match, with both Pokemon giving off a lot of good licks, as Excadrill rams into its opponent with Drill Runs and Metal Claws while Gabite slashes at its subterranean foe with Rock Smashes. Ultimately, however, this latter move is super effective while Excadrills are not, with this being what turns the tide, so that the end of a slugfest that none are likely to forget, Iris's starter collapses with spirals for eyes, while Ash and his dragon stand proud, as they are officially named the Club Battle Champions. Following this, our heroes get back on the road once more, though here they are joined by an unlikely companion, Team Rocket's Meowth, who claims to have been fired from the organization, and so pleads for the twerp's forgiveness and protection. Due to believing the innate goodness of everyone, Ash and his friends accept this, welcoming him into the fold, while Gabite shows off its own good nature by quickly becoming the Scratch Cat's pal, inviting him to join in on its escapades with Scraggy and Axew, and sitting with him at meals so they can chat. This deeply touches Meowth's heart, though not enough to stop him from betraying them all when they reached Nimbasa City, since as it turns out, this was all a ploy to lure the twerp's Pokemon into the subway so Jesse and James could steal them. Luckily, Ash, Silent, and Iris, with a bit of help from the subway bosses Ingo and Emmett, are able to prevent this, stopping the train from being airlifted away, and driving off the crooks who were forced to retreat in defeat. While saddened by this betrayal, Ash has something to take his mind off it, that being his upcoming gym battle with Alessa. Due to having forewarning that she's an electric-type user, the boy decides to use Palpitoad to bite, and since he's not so arrogant as to think he can win this with one Pokemon, he figures he might as well round out the team and have a backup, who in this case is Pikachu. This proves to be a wise decision, as while Palpitoad is able to beat Zebstrika, it falls to Amulga, and knowing that ground-type moves won't work on the flying squirrel due to Iris having caught one, he's able to switch into Pikachu right away, instead of making a fool of himself by needing to leave the gym mid-battle. Having spent a good chunk of the time it took to reach Nimbasa mastering Electro Ball, Pikachu is able to put on an impressive show by taking Amulga down with this move. Though, due to not having expended energy on Snivy like in canon, the electric flying type does manage to do more damage to Pikachu before it is defeated. As a result, when the clash with Alessa's so-called Electric Queen Tynamo begins, the mouse Pokemon simply cannot land the finishing blow before he is defeated by the Tackle Barrage, meaning the outcome of this battle all rests on Gabite. While this does pose the same problem as Amulga in that Tynamo is immune to ground-type moves, Gabite still has Draco Meteor, Dragon Pulse, and Rock Smash at its disposal, though if that were not enough, it also has its bitey jaws, which it attempts to close around the distinctly snack-sized Elefish Pokemon. Luckily for Alessa, Tynamo is fast enough to avoid this fate, though this doesn't leave much room for attacking when its sole move is Tackle. As a result, things quickly devolve into a game of tag, as the electric type tries desperately to avoid being bitten or blasted. Though having already taken a fair few hits from Pikachu, its stamina is rather low, meaning before long, Gabite is able to land a definitive Draco Meteor on the Elefish's back, blowing it out of the sky and causing it to lie unconscious. Seeing this, Ash lets out a delighted whoop, then as he and his draconic friend embrace, he thanks it for winning him his fourth gym badge, while it in turn takes a familiar affectionate nibble of his noggin. We pick back up in Nimbasa City, with Ash eager to return to the road and make headway towards his next gym battle. However, it seems that won't be happening for a while, as the Driftvale drawbridge is in the process of being repaired, meaning for now, our heroes are stuck here. Fortunately, there is a lot to do in Nimbasa to keep them occupied, with Ash and Iris spending the day together while Silent enters the subway boss's stamp relay, which is ending today. Due to Gabite not having much influence on things one way or the other, this goes like canon, with Silent's kind heart being repaid, when a girl he helps in turn helps him to get his final stamp, meaning he earns the right to challenge the bosses Ingo and Emmett to a tag battle. As his partner, the green-haired youth picks Ash, with the duo putting up a good fight, though in the end they are simply overwhelmed by the twin conductor's unparalleled teamwork. Nonetheless, both boys come away from this experience feeling a bit stronger and wiser, with this coming in handy the following morning, as upon learning that the bridge is fixed, they make haste to cross it, only to run into Trip. However, it is not Trip that Ash will be battling today, as the Unovan youth explains that Alder the Champion has been spotted nearby, with him racing off to challenge his hero while Ash and his friends do likewise. After a little bit, the group find Alder as he is in the midst of hitting on the local officer Jenny, and while Trip doesn't care, Ash and Iris are both all put off by the champ acting like an old lech. Nonetheless, Ash does still challenge him right after Trip, with the redhead man agreeing to battle him first, though in truth it isn't much of a battle, with Alder's Buffalant attacking his trainer rather than Pikachu, and the champ only had quits here, meaning both Ash and Trip are left disappointed. Were that not bad enough, he then departs to perv on Nurse Joy, suggesting maybe it's time Trip find a new hero. Though, just when it seems like the sandy-haired youth might be considering it, a rampaging Gigalith begins making its way through town, with it being here that Alder steps up and shows his mettle by stopping the wild Pokemon in a way that is both skillful and humane, before finally explaining his philosophy to the kids. Unlike most trainers, he doesn't care about strength or things like that. He just wants to help people and Pokemon come close together. That's why he became champion. Recognizing that maybe they had what it means to be champion backwards, Ash, Iris, Silent, and especially Trip thank the man for this, before going their separate ways once more. From here, there is another stretch of canon for a while, until our heroes come across a trio of Dino, who are being looked after by a daycare couple. Unfortunately, the couple are struggling to handle their young charges due to being inexperienced with dragon types, prompting Ash and Iris to volunteer their experience, while Silent joins in to support his friends. As part of this, Gabite and Axew become mentors to the younger Drakes, playing with them and occasionally training them, so that when two of their trainers come back, they're favorably impressed with their Pokemon's development. However, as the hours pass and the appointed pickup day, day, one of the Dino remains in the kid's care, with it starting to look like its trainer has abandoned it, perhaps due to its shy and timid nature in contrast to its more outgoing peers. Naturally, this only worsens Dino's anxiety, but luckily Axew is here to help, as having started out in a similar place before its friendship with Gabite, the Tusk Pokemon steps up and begins working with the younger Draco in its self-confidence. In doing so, it shows just how much it has matured since their journey began, with Iris praising a little buddy, while Gabite stands back since it knows its pal can do this on its own. Though, whenever it and Axew make eye contact, it flashes the green dragon a toothy encouraging grin. Thanks to this, Dino starts coming out of its shell a bit more, so that soon Iris begins to wonder if maybe it's time to invite it into her team and continue on their way to Driftvale City. Though, this will not be necessary, as Dino's very beleaguered trainer finally arrives, explaining that he's been trying to get back to his friend for ages but was lost in Chargestone Cave. All the same, he is still immensely grateful to Iris and Axew for looking after and encouraging the little dragon, while the girl is just happy that he didn't turn out to be a jerk. As for Axew, it does have a hard time saying goodbye, though showing off its increased maturity once more, it waves its new friend off with a smile as it and its trainer vanish into the sunset, only allowing tears to fall after it is out of sight, while at its side, Gabite lays a clawed hand on its shoulder comfortingly. Not long after this, our heroes arrive in Driftvale City at last, where Ash eagerly rushes to the gym to challenge its leader, only to be shot down as Clay explains that he's too busy searching for an underground vein to take any challenges right now. Though Ash doesn't understand what he means, since he thought veins were in people's arms, not underground, he agrees to wait all the same, hanging around Driftvale for a few days before challenging Clay again. This time the man refuses on the grounds that he needs to find a revival herb, and figuring this might be his ticket in, Ash agrees to go get it if the gym leader will battle him right after. Seeing these as fair terms, Clay accepts and directs the trio to Milos Island, where currently Team Rocket are in the midst of carrying out a scheme, as they have disturbed the obelisks of the legendary Tornadus and Thunderous in the hopes of capturing them and their trio master Landorus. As a result, when Ash and co. arrive, they find that all the revival herbs in the island have died, and all the grass types have been stricken with a sudden sickness. In an attempt to combat this, a local young man named Lewis plans to visit the altar of Landorus and beseech it to return the island to equilibrium as it did in their ancient legends, though when he does so alongside Ash and his friends, the only legendary Pokemon they attract is Tornadus, who immediately attacks. Here Silent attempts to hold it off, though not long after Thunderous appears too, with Ash having Gabite join Axew and Excadrill in trying to stop its rampage. This unfortunately ends in failure, as there is a reason pseudo-legendary is not the same as legendary, with Gabite falling to a focus blast that had been aimed at Axew. Recognizing the sacrifice its friend just made, the Tusk Pokemon finds itself filled with a true dragon rage for the first time ever, with this causing it to evolve into Fracture, and begin pelting Thunderous with dragon rage while Ash urgently recalls Gabite. Unfortunately, even the power of friendship is not enough to beat a legendary Pokemon, with Fracture likewise taking a beating much to the concern of Lewis's Gotharita. As a result, the Draconic duo are out of commission for the remainder of the Forces of Nature two-parter, with this in turn making Ash's determination to stop the genies from fighting even greater, as beyond general concern for the well-being of the island, now he needs them to calm down so more revival herbs can grow, and he can help his friend. Luckily, in the end, Landorus does appear and stops its counterparts, and they leave for parts unknown, while Gabite and Fracture are able to be healed, much to Ash and Iris' relief as they embrace their friends, glad to have them safe and sound once more. Fortunately, they're not the only ones, as with balance restored, the grass types of Milos Island return to normal, while revival herbs bloom again, allowing Ash and friends to collect one for Clay and return to the mainland so the boy can have his long overdue gym battle. For this match, Ash chooses to go with Palpitoad, Gabite, and Roggenroller, in keeping with the mining theme of the gym, as Palpitoad is able to take out Krokrok before falling to Clay's own Palpitoad, while Gabite manages to earn a tie with the Vibration Pokemon, due to still recovering from its battle with Thunderous. This leaves Roggenroller to face Clay's Excadrill, who is a veteran battler and miner, giving it the home field and experiential advantage. Nonetheless, the shiny pebble pulls through in the end, evolving into Boldore and blowing the mole away with Rock Blast. This secures Ash's Quake Badge, with the gang next heading for Mistralton City, though before they can reach the Windy City, they must first pass through Chargestone Cave. Here they encounter Team Rocket once more, with this being Gabite's first chance to see them since the incident in the subway, as it was knocked out during their involvement in the Milos Island mini-arc. As a result, it is only now that the dragon ground type is able to cry out to Meowth, asking him something that has been wondering since the train heist. Why did he betray them? Did he not have fun being pals with It, Scraggy, and Fracture? Dismissively, Meowth scorns this line of thinking, stating that he doesn't care about twerpy stuff like that. Though still in its simple, innocent way, Gabite asks why not? If he had fun being their friend, why can't he just keep being their friend? Sadly, this is never answered, as by now Jesse and James have grown tired of talking, and to resume their plan of stealing the cave's electricity, forcing our heroes to do battle with the crooks. Though as Team Rocket flee in defeat once more, Gabite's eyes remain on Meowth, and he continues to wander. Following this, there isn't much Gabite really changes for the next little while, as Ash and Co. meet up with Professor Juniper, and then her dad, Cedric Juniper. Though, the father-daughter duo aren't their only encounters, as once again the sunglasses crocodile rears its head to challenge Gabite. During this fight, when Stone Edge and Draco Meteor collide, both Gabite and Croc Rock are sent flying, with the former landing on a young boy named Mick who is being bullied by one of his peers and is looking for a Pokemon he can battle with to hopefully teach his bully a lesson. Ever the friendly and helpful Drake, Gabite happily volunteers to be that Pokemon, with Ash and Co. arriving soon after and helping him train, though when Glenn the Bully shows up with two Pokemon and demands a double battle, Croc Rock appears once more, this time to serve as Gabite's partner. Despite their own rivalry, the pair work well together, with their shared ground typing allowing them to resist Scolipede's poison, and their other type being enough to handle Seismitoad, even if it is more of a threat. As Mick had hoped, this earns him some respect from Glenn, with the pair becoming friends as they gush over how cool that battle was, and excitedly discuss having another someday. Seeing a chance for a similar resolution and reconciliation, Ash then asks Croc Rock if he would like to settle the score with Gabite, and offer the desert Croc eagerly latches onto, with the pair quickly finding somewhere out of the way to have what may be their final showdown. From the outset, this clash is marked by the speed and intensity of both Pokemon, as having gained mutual respect for one another, now they want to put their all into the battle. As the slightly faster of the pair, Gabite lands its hit first, holding nothing back as it pummels its rival with super effective rock smashes. Though refusing to go down without a fight, Krokrok uses the dragon's favorite trick against it, revealing that it has learned Crunch as it chomps down and forces Gabite to let out a howl. Nonetheless, the cave Pokemon is far from a one-trick pony, as when it breaks free, it turns the duel into one of range, using Draco Meteors that Croc Rock must try to overcome with Stone Edge. Unfortunately for the Unovan reptile, Gabite simply is its superior, blasting the stone shards into dust and bombarding it with concentrated draconic energy until it flees underground. However, this time it is not to make its escape, instead tunneling right at Gabite for an all-or-nothing dig, and recognizing this will be what decides things, the dragon ground type burrows down and charges right at its rival. A moment later, the pair of Pokemon collide and then burst from the ground together, with it taking a second to see what the outcome is. Though, as the spray of dirt subsides, Ash realizes that Gabite has uppercut Krokorok, taking out of the fight and putting this rivalry to bed at last. With this defeat, the desert Croc concedes, as it sees now Gabite is simply it's better, both in terms of strength and as a ground type. Though, when it begins slinking away in a depressed state, Ash calls out to it once again, cheering that it fought really hard, so if it would like, maybe it could join him and Gabite in their journey. Such an idea makes Krokorok happier than it can admit while keeping up its tough guy persona, though before it accepts, it first looks to the Drake, seeking its permission as the vanquisher. In its usual happy-go-lucky way, Gabite responds to this with a clawed thumbs up and a big cheesy grin, since it's always had fun playing with the Desert Croc. So if it wants to join its roster of pals, that's a-okay with the Sinnoh pseudo. Taking this as all the confirmation it needs, Krokorok then makes its way back to its new trainer, who happily welcomes it into the team. Not long after this, the trio do finally arrive in Mistralton City, though when Ash goes to challenge the gym leader Skylar, he is once again rebuffed in what is becoming an annoying pattern. This time the reason is because she feels she doesn't actually need to battle, as by seeing what Pokemon her opponent plans to use, she can simply calculate whether they would win or lose the battle and so gives out badges accordingly. As a gym leader himself, this infuriates Cylon, who demands the right to battle Skylar in person, and having already concluded he'll lose based on his team, she accepts. Refusing to allow these air battles, as Skylar calls them, to continue, Cylon wastes no time in putting his full battling passion and experience into this match, with his Pansage, Stunfisk, and Crustle giving their all for their trainer. Unfortunately, in the end, Skylar does still come out victorious, though this is not to say she is completely unchanged, as when Ash next demands a real battle, she accepts, if only to see whether her predictions will come true for a second time in a row. Unfortunately, it seems that Skylar may have some method to her madness, as Ash does struggle a bit here, specifically because he never met Padub and so lacks a designated flyer to go up against Swanna, Swoobat, and Unpheasant. All the same, he and his chosen team of Pikachu, Krokrok, and Dealing put up a good fight, making sure that for every loss they take, one of Skylar's Pokemon falls with them or soon after, resulting in a final clash between Dealing and Swanna. While this seems like a doomed matchup, as Swanna can use Hurricane and Brave Bird to batter the Fawn while employing Aqua Ring to deflect incoming attacks and heal, Dealing does not surrender, waiting until Swanna comes in for a final Brave Bird, and lunging forward to meet it head-on. As it does, a pair of majestic antlers sprout from its head, with its evolution to Swordsbuck giving it the strength to clash evenly with Swanna. Not only that, but it has also learned the move Leech Horn, which allows it to steal the stamina Swanna has regained from Aqua Ring and used to offset Brave Bird, and better still, turn it into power for one final push that sends the White Bird Pokemon crashing into the ground, where it lies unconscious. As a result, Ash is granted his anti-penultimate badge, while Skylar at last has her eyes opened, thanking both him and Silent before promising to start battling for real again. Meanwhile, after running into Stefan once more, Ash and Co decide to take part in the local Wishing Bell Festival, which is said to grant a wish to its winner, and while Ash himself is not victorious, he is informed of the upcoming club explosion which he and his friends quickly become keen to enter. As it turns out, this tournament is a bit different from the club battle, in that each trainer can only use one Pokemon throughout, and it is geared primarily towards fighting-type Pokemon and raw martial arts. To this end, Ash chooses to enter with Scraggy, meaning Gabite has very limited influence beyond joining Fracture and cheering its little buddy on. However, this is not to say that its presence brings about no changes, as when Ash, Iris, and Silent are about to leave following Ash's defeat in the semi-finals, the trio are approached by a severe-looking man with a white beard, who Iris immediately refers to as Master Drayden. In a stern but also unmistakably fond tone, the old man praises the girl for her efforts, though adds that she still has room to improve, even if he is impressed that she's managed to get that little Axew of hers to evolve into a Fracture. Adopting an expression of modesty in place of her usual boisterousness, Iris explains that she owes some of the credit to Ash and his Gabite for helping Fracture to grow, an attitude Drayden calls most wise, as growth comes from a variety of sources, and it takes great humility to be able to see that and accept help. He then turns his attention to Ash and his Gabite, since he has a message for them. He is going on sabbatical soon, meaning his gym will be closed for several months. However, due to having developed an interest in battling the companion of his chosen successor, and especially his rare foreign pseudo-legendary dragon, he will keep the gym open 1 week longer than he had originally planned. This will give Ash a fighting chance to reach Opelucid City before the deadline, though only if he is focused and does not waver from his goal. Nodding eagerly, Ash promises not to let the bearded man down, with this earning a grunt of acknowledgement as Drayden turns his back on them and starts walking away, though before he vanishes from view, he reiterates that Ash's cutoff date is 3 weeks from today. Whether he makes it or not is up to him. Now with the goal to spur him on, Ash is eager to get back on the road, with Iris likewise being very excited at the idea of her friend battling her master, and Silent wanting to see what new aromas and flavors bloom when two fearsome dragons collide. In preparation for this, Ash and Iris redouble their training, often by sparring together, causing both to see some impressive gains, most notably with Fracture learning Dragon Pulse from Gabite, and Swadloon evolving into Leavanny during a match with Emolga. However, this is not the only notable evolution, as while stopping at a Pokemon Center along the way, Ash runs into Tepig's former trainer Seamus, with the rude boy treating his discarded Pokemon with a disdain that makes Ash's blood boil. Evidently, he is not the only one, as Snivy is also quick to defend the Fire Pig, with it being agreed that Ash and Seamus will have a double battle to prove whether or not Tepig is as worthless as the latter says it is. Fortunately, this goes like canon, with Tepig evolving into Pignite and kicking the jerk's butt, freeing the gang up to reach Icera City where they encounter Bryce in training in the mountains around town. Always eager to improve, Ash winds up joining the gym leader, with Gabite and Krokrok taking part in the training alongside him. Together, they work to hone their bodies and minds in the frigid conditions, before putting this to use driving off a Pokemon hunter in the area, with this helping Bryson to regain some of his lost nerve, and in turn allowing him to happily accept Ash's challenge. Despite being an ice-type gym, Gabite actually does serve as Ash's first Pokemon the following morning, with its super effective Rock Smash making short work of the Osiris leader's Vanillish. However, due to being quad weak, there is no way Gabite could have swept this gym, with it falling soon after to Cryogonal. This opens things up for Scraggy to enter the fray, and wanting to show its pal how much it grew in the club's explosion, it fights its little heart out, delivering a volley of high jump kicks, and even a newly mastered focus blast to take the angry snowflake out. As it had hoped, this display impresses both Gabite and Fracture, who cheer their little buddy on, though unfortunately, all the cheering in the world isn't going to make up for the power disparity between Scraggy and Bryson's bear tick. As a result, it too is soon defeated, though Ash still has Croc Rock, and due to not having burnt stamina fighting in the first round, it is in perfect shape to claim victory and earn the Ravenhead boy his freeze badge. Naturally, Ash is delighted by this, as he rushes onto the field to thank the ground dark type, while the gym leader gives his praise as well. However, now sadly is not the time for celebrating, since as Iris is quick to point out, they still have to get to Opelucid City, and Drayden's deadline is rapidly approaching. We pick back up with Ash and his friends as they spot Opelucid City in the distance, due to having their journey interrupted when a wealthy psychopath named Mr. Hadley briefly kidnapped them so Silent could help choose his daughter's starter. They are cutting it very fine with Drayden's deadline. Nonetheless, as they cross the threshold of the city, Ash immediately begins scanning around for the gym, with Iris helpfully pointing out that it's the big building with the dragon statues. While a little way behind them, Silent puts his hands on his knees and pants that while vigorous exercise is said to be good for digestion, all this sprinting is given him indigestion. Nonetheless, he does join his two friends as they make their way to the building Iris had indicated, where Drayden stands waiting out the front. In his severe voice, he states that he was starting to worry Ash wasn't going to come, though flashing a confident grin, the black-haired boy assures the man that he and Gabite wouldn't miss this for the world. Heading inside, the pair begin their 3-on-3 battle, with Drudigan being Drayden's first pick and Ash going with Pikachu, much to the bearded man's surprise. Even so, he does not underestimate the electric rodent, having it match Pikachu's iron tails with dragon tails that send shockwaves through the air, though in the end, Pikachu does prove superior, giving the first win to Ash. Unfortunately, this is not true of Drayden's second choice, that being Flygon, with its super effective earth power, not to mention powerful moves like Crunch and Rock Slide taking the starter out of the fight. Wanting to hold Gabite back for the end, Ash next calls forth Lee Vanny in the hopes of binding the desert dragon's wings with its strings and holding it down. While a good idea in theory, in practice Flygon is simply too fast and too strong, taking out the grass bug and putting the advantage back in Drayden's favour. This just leaves Gabite, though thankfully most of its arsenal is super effective against Flygon, meaning one or two Draco Meteors are sufficient to down the mystic Pokemon. However, the same cannot be said of the gym leader's ace, Haxorus, as it is on a whole other level, with its sheer presence being enough to send a collective shiver down Ash and Gabite's spines. All the same, on the boy's command, the cave Pokemon fires off another Draco Meteor, only for Haxorus to slice it in half with one of its axe blades, sending the two halves spiraling off while doing no damage. To make matters worse, the golden dragon then leaps forward and tears a slash across Gabite's chest that makes it stagger in pain. Refusing to lose, and especially in such a one-sided manner, Ash uses this closeness to fire off a dragon pulse that does super effective damage, with Drayden acknowledging that the pair have good power and synergy, though all the same, when he orders his follow-up dragon tail, it knocks Gabite out cold, ending the battle. Shocked by this prompt defeat, Ash isn't sure what to say, though Drayden remains quite complimentary, stating he was right to believe the pair have potential, it's just a shame they won't have time for a rematch before he leaves in 2 days' time. Finding his voice at last, Ash declares that he and Gabite will be back by then, they just need to rest and do a bit of training, though he promises they will return. Raising his rather thick eyebrows, the gym leader asks if he really thinks he can bridge the gap in power between Haxorus and Gabite in just 2 days, to which his young opponent grins that if he and his friend put their mind to it, they can do anything, so we'll see him back here the day after tomorrow. Truthfully, Iris and Silent are both a little uncertain about this course of action as they follow Ash back to the Pokemon Center, since as the purple-haired girl points out, Drayden is a Dragon Master, so there's no way Ash can get strong enough to beat him in just 2 days. Though remaining resolute, the Ravenhead youth retorts that Yuri knows how he's gonna do it, he just needs her and Fracture's help. As it turns out, the plan is simple, as he just wants Gabite to battle Fracture repeatedly at full power, something the Unovan pair agree to, with the two Drakes doing his bid and clashing the following day. As a mark of their friendship, both put their all into these duels, since while they've sparred before, this is different. This is genuine combat against an equal, and recognizing the significance of this, neither give an inch. This is exactly what Ash had been hoping for, as by having a peer to work with and compare themselves to, both see impressive power increases, while also getting new insight into their friend that they could not have gotten any other way, so that when training is called to a halt for the day, the dragons hold more mutual respect than ever before. As promised, Ash arrives back at the Opelucid gym bright and early the next day, with a surprising Drayden, who had been expecting him to use most of today for training as well and arrive in the afternoon. Nonetheless, he welcomes his young challenger, with the pair starting off much as they did before, Drudigan versus Pikachu. Like last time, this ends in a victory for the Spunky Rodent, followed by a defeat at the hands of Flygon, though this time instead of Leivani, Ash's second choice is Palpitoad. This is a shrewd decision, as by making use of its supersonic, Ash is able to mess up the Mystic Pokémon's equilibrium, causing it to grow confused and become vulnerable to a Sludge Wave Hydro Pump combo that downs it. Unfortunately, as one would expect, Haxorus makes short work of the Vibration Pokémon before it can try such a strategy on it, while Ash calls goodbye back for the make-or-break battle of his Unova Gym Run. Wanting to test how much the youngsters have grown in such a short span of time, Dragon commands Haxorus to rush in for another slash, but this time the Sinnoh Pseudo is prepared, clashing its arm fins against the other dragon's axe mouth as it uses Rock Smash to parry. Nodding approvingly, Dragon decides to see if they have as much luck blocking Dragon Tail, though knowing how dangerous this move is, Ash instead is goodbye jump back to avoid it then fire a Draco Meteor Haxorus can't cleave while committed to the initial swing. Pleased to see that the duo have indeed improved, the bearded man then begins laying on the pressure, having Haxorus use Dragon Dance to buff its strength, before unleashing a flurry of slashes, Dragon Tails, and even the occasional assurance to try and force the challengers onto the back foot. However, knowing this is their last chance, neither Ash nor Gabite give an inch, pushing back with everything they have, as they use Dig for uppercuts, Rock Smash for jabs, and a mix of Dragon Pulse and Draco Meteor when range is required. Unfortunately, even all this combined does not appear to be enough to bridge the gap between the second and third stage Dragon. As when Slash meets Rock Smash once again, Haxorus begins pushing its prey back. Urgently, Ash cries for Gabite, encouraging it to hang tough, though as the words of its trainer fill its head, it decides to do him one better, and lets out a primal roar. With this roar comes a burst of light that engulfs the Drake, transforming it into Sinnoh's apex predator Garchomp, but this is not all it does, as with this evolution comes a new move, Crunch. With its history of biting friends and foes alike, nothing could be more appropriate for this pivotal moment, with Garchomp ducking its head and clamping its fearsome jaws around Haxorus's throat. Then, with a flick of its neck, it tosses the gold dragon aside and begins bearing down on it for its counterattack. Now it is Drayden's turn to be on the back foot, so while Haxorus shares many of the qualities needed for a pseudo-legendary, and is often mistaken for one, it is not, with the difference between this elite class of Pokémon and their regular peers becoming immediately apparent, as even with a Dragon Dance under its belt, Haxorus cannot compete with the fully evolved Sinnoh Drake. As a result, it is not long before another Crunch puts the Axe-Jaw Pokémon down, ending the battle and earning Ash's final Unovan Gym Badge. Running onto the field, Ash eagerly hugs his fully evolved dragon, thanking it for an awesome fight, while showing that evolution has not altered its nature. Garchomp hugs Ash right back, and gives him a much softer nibble than it did Haxorus. In the stands, Iris, Fracture, and Silent cheer for the duo, while Drayden strides forward and bestows Ash with a legend badge in his congratulations, admitting that he did not think it possible the boy and his dragon would grow so much in such a short time, though that is the marvel of youth, it always exceeds the expectations of the old. Gratefully, Ash replies that it helped to have the white-haired gym leader as a benchmark to aim for, with the two trainers shaking hands, while beside them their drakes do likewise, rounding out this challenge on a note of pride and respect. From here, things get back on their canon course, as upon learning the Virtuous Conference isn't for several weeks, Ash and Co. make their way east to Lacanosa Town, where they are pleasantly surprised to learn a competition is being held called the Pokémon World Tournament Junior Cup, with the trio naturally entering for the chance to grow stronger. Here they reunite with Trip, Georgia, and a few other rivals, though the most stunning reunion is with Cynthia, who is here to open the tournament with an exhibition match, and who invites Ash and Co. to stay with her in her Undella Town villa for the duration. As it turns out, she is not the only old face from Ash's Sinnoh journey to be present, with the boy being delighted when he encounters Dawn at the villa, with the pair of old companions quickly catching up, and Ash introducing her to Iris and Silent. Unfortunately, one among their number is not so thrilled, that being Piplup, as upon learning that Gibbler's evolved all the way to Garchomp, it almost dies of fright, as it can only imagine how terrifying its errant Draco Meteors will be now. Nonetheless, things are for the most part good, with the kids entering the Junior Cup and Ash making it all the way to the finals following an intense battle with Iris and a new Dragonite, which causes Krokrok to evolve into Crocodile. Sadly, Ash does still use Pignite against Trip Superior, meaning it is the sandy-haired boy who emerges victorious and gets to challenge Older, while putting their win-loss ratio back to even, and making Ash more eager than ever to beat his rival in the league. And speaking of disappointments, our heroes do still run into Cameron, when he arrives for the tournament after it is already finished. As a result, they manage to explain that the Unova League does not take place in Johto's Ecruteague City, and that he needs 8, not 7 badges to compete in it. With their good deed for the day done, Ash and Co then return to Undella Town for the start of the Meloetta arc, since even without Ash present in Verbank City, the Melody Pokemon would still have shown itself to Cynthia when she almost ran it over, with it then coming into her care and accompanying her to the villa. Subsequently, much of this arc goes the same as canon, except during the battle with the Therian forces of nature in the Abyssal Ruins, Garchomp does manage to make an impact by teaming up with Cynthia's Garchomp to do a combo Draco Meteor that actually staggers Thundurus, buying Meloetta time to quell their rage and restore them to normal. From here, it is not long before the Unova League is set to start, though on the way the trio do take a detour to Iris' hometown, the Village of Dragons, so she can see the Elder and show how much she and Fracture have grown, with everyone being very impressed by her, as well as Ash and Garchomp, since it's rare to see an outsider with such a well-raised dragon type. Here they also run into Drayden again, with Iris this time getting a chance to battle him, and while her match does not end in victory, the bearded man assures her that he is very proud of her and how far she's come. Following this, the Virtuous Conference begins in earnest, with Ash shockingly being matched up with Trip in the first round. Like in canon, Pikachu manages to defeat Superior and advance Ash to the second stage. While showing surprising maturity, the sandy-haired youth admits that his rival keeps pulling ahead of him, with this being where their feud ends, and they part as friends. On the topic of friends and maturity, Fracture does not get lost at the League due to the maturity it has gained from its friendship with Garchomp, meaning Ash and Ko can unwind and get ready for the next day's matches. This sees Ash paired up against two unimportant trainers and then Stefan, with Ash's trio of Crocodile, Palpitoad, and Garchomp taking care of this rival and putting him in the top 8. Here he is paired with Cameron, who is eager to battle his pal, even going so far as to reveal his secret weapon, Hydreigon, right off the bat. On top of not being a very good secret since he showed it right away, it's also not a great matchup for who Ash plans on using, as wanting to show his newest rival the same respect he showed him by using his ace from the start, he calls forth Garchomp, with the Sinnoh pseudo immediately locking eyes with his Unovan counterpart. Due to sharing Ash's belief that the best defense is a good offense, Cameron goes in the attack as soon as the match begins, having Hydreigon try to outspeed Garchomp with Dragon Rush. However, even with this move, the Ground Dragon is simply a superior speedster, dodging out of the way and landing a super effective Rock Smash. This quickly becomes the way of things, as Cameron attempts simplistic strategies and Ash is a more experienced trainer with more battle-hardened Pokemon counters, striking the brutal Pokemon with Rock Smashes and raining Draco Meteors upon it whenever Cameron tries to pull back and fight at range. To make things worse for the headband-wearing boy, even Hydreigon's seeming flight advantage is null and void, since Garchomp can fly too, and while it's no skill it's put much practice into since evolving, it has at least enough innate understanding of its own body to chase the dragon dark-type into the air when it has to, and swat it back down to earth with Rock Smash. As a result, Cameron's secret weapon goes down without earning a single KO, and things do not get much better for him from here, as when he next uses Ferrothorn, Ash switches to Pignite, and easily dispatches the quad-weak Thornpod Pokemon. In turn, Cameron is able to beat Pignite with Samurott, but is promptly defeated by Pikachu, as is Cameron's Swanna, leaving him with just one Pokemon, since for some inexplicable reason, he didn't know that he needed six Pokemon for a full battle. For his final pick, Cameron chooses Riolu, and in the absence of Unpheasant, Ash sticks with Pikachu, whose speed and power greatly outstrip the little dogs, allowing him to gain the clear advantage. However, due to having the same protagonist boy energy as Ash, Cameron is able to turn this hardship into power, as when he gives Riolu heartfelt words of encouragement, it evolves into Lucario, and even manages to defeat Pikachu, who is pretty worn out after three battles in a row. Though, this victory is short-lived, as in response, Ash brings out Crocodile, with the Desert Croc mopping up Lucario pretty easily, and giving Ash the victory with four Pokemon left, two of whom never even needed to battle. This puts Ash in the semi-finals, and after a decently tough battle with a kid named Ramon, he advances to the finals where he is slated to face Virgil and his Eevee team. Due to having encountered the other boy on the way to the league, Ash wishes him luck, with the pair chatting amiably until it's time to begin, at which point they take their places and focus entirely on the battle ahead. Despite having very different styles, both seem to be on the same wavelength here, going with their youngest team members in Eevee and Scraggy respectively. Due to having typing on its side, not to mention the benefit of Fracture and Garchomp's mentorship, the little salamander manages to pull off the first win. In response, Virgil next picks Umbreon, a seemingly odd choice, until it is revealed that it is quite proficient with the move Psychic, tossing Scraggy around and knocking it out cold before it can land a hit. In an attempt to avenge its little buddy, Garchomp comes out next to battle for Ash, though this is precisely what the Rescue Ranger wants, as he has Umbreon use Mean Look then switches to Glaceon. Recognizing the trap he's just walked into, Ash refuses to back down, ordering Garchomp to bust through, since even if they can't switch, they can still win this. As it turns out, they can't, but they can tie, as in spite of being quad weak to Glaceon's ice attacks, Garchomp's incredible power ensures that when it goes down, so does the fresh snow Pokemon. Now being forced to each bring out a new battler, Ash goes with Baldur while Virgil picks Flareon, with this going as one would expect, and Flareon soon finding itself unconscious after a couple of rock blasts to the face. This allows Ash to pull ahead once more, though as he will soon find out, the margin of his advantage is narrower than he might think. As Flareon did enough damage before falling though when Leafeon is chosen next, it has little difficulty beating Baldur and tying things up once again. Figuring it's time for a grass type of his own, Ash's fourth choice is Swordsbuck, with this being a wise move, as when Leafeon sets up Sunny Day to protect itself from status conditions thanks to its Leaf Guard ability, Swordsbuck's own Chlorophyll gives it the speed boost it needs to get over Leafeon and take it out with Horn Leech. In fact, the seasoned Pokemon even finds itself quicker than the blisteringly fast Jolteon who follows, with it seeming like a back-to-back victory is in its future. However, Swordsbuck's enhanced speed is only temporary, while Jolteon's is innate, meaning when the sunlight fades, the electric evolution quickly outspeeds its foe, and renders it unable to battle. Unfortunately, Oshawott does not do much better, only getting off a few razor shells before being defeated, so that when Ash asks Pikachu to fight for him, it is as his last hope. Never one to let Ash down, the electric rodent goes all out from the start, completely overwhelming Jolteon with quick attacks and iron tails, so that soon it has spirals for eyes. However, such an intense flurry of blows is taxing, with Virgil noting that as he calls back Umbreon to be his final Pokemon. As he does this, he recounts how Umbreon was his very first Pokemon, and how it evolved to help him see in the dark when he was afraid, so he's trusting it once more to light his way, this time to victory. While grinning eagerly, Ash tells Pikachu that he's counting on him too. What follows is a duel of both speed and technique, as while Pikachu has the advantage in the former category, Umbreon's diverse move pool allows it to match whatever the Kantonian starter throws at it, such as using Flash to disorient Pikachu when he gets in close for quick attack, or reflecting Thunderbolts back at him with Psychic. Ultimately, this culminates in a final clash between Shadow Ball and Electro Ball, with the two orbs hanging in the air between them casting light and darkness in equal measure. Then, darkness prevails, as after expending stamina to take out Jolteon, Pikachu lacks the strength to match the fresher Umbreon, who channels the last of its will to push both balls back into the electric rodent, knocking him out and ending the battle. In spite of this loss, Ash is still proud, as this was his first time making it all the way to the finals. After scooping up Pikachu and giving him a hug, he goes over to congratulate Virgil, with the other boy in turn thanking him for an awesome battle, since he's never had an opponent push him this hard before. As the Virtuous Conference runner-up, Ash is invited to the awards ceremony, where he is given a silver trophy and a standing ovation, with Silent and Iris cheering loudest of all, as they know their friend did his absolute best out there, and they are proud of him for it. Following this, the trio get back on the road once more, with Ash's mind turning towards home and his next journey. Though, before this can happen, there are a few more smaller adventures to be had, such as returning to Professor Juniper's lab where they help a new trainer overcome her fear so she can start her journey, and visiting the Aspersia gym that has just opened up so Ash can battle its leader. However, the most fun of these is the Kanto Fair that our heroes come across after leaving Verbank City, as this allows Ash to show his friends a bit about his homeland. As part of this, the trio watch a video presentation by Professor Oak, showing off the three traditional Kanto starters, though it does go a little awry when the Charmander on display accidentally destroys half the stage. Fortunately, the first stage Fire Lizard is fine, with the whole incident making Ash more than a little nostalgic for his own Charizard. To this end, he decides to bring the Fire Starter back into his team for the rest of his time in Unova, though this does pose the question of who should be rotated out since he is a full party. Ultimately, the boy settles on Garchomp, since he doesn't want half his team to be made up of friends from prior journeys, with the result being that it is sent back to Oak's lab, though before it goes, it does take a moment to say goodbye to Fracture and Scraggy, since it may be a while before it sees either of them again. Thankfully, the Mark Pokemon will not be lacking in the friends department, as when it returns to the lab, it receives a hero's welcome from Ash's other Pokemon, especially its Sinnoh friends who are all impressed with its growth. Infernape and Buizel in particular are keen to test their mettle against the fully evolved Sudo, while Gliscor and Staraptor invite Garchomp to come flying with them now that it has that ability. However, such activities can all happen later, as for now, everyone wants to hear about it and Ash's latest journey, and seeing how much this means to its pals, Garchomp settles in and starts recounting the tale of its adventures in Unova. And that's where we'll end the story of What If Ash Took Gible to Unova. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave your thoughts in the comments below. And I will see you as the journey continues.